Let me mention that, and Billy alluded to it, that we'll have our song leading class at 4 o'clock this afternoon. All men are welcome to come, participate, encourage, learn. We've been having some good sessions, and I know I'm learning some things, and I believe others are learning some things that are helpful to us as we strive to worship God as well as we possibly can, as effectively as we possibly can. Tonight, Lord willing, what I am planning to do is to have a sermon with songs. We'll be talking about the blood of Christ, and we'll be singing several songs as we look at what the Bible has to say concerning the blood of Christ and obviously the significance that that has for us. I must have told you the wrong passage, Tim, which is okay. I appreciate your reading. No, don't. I'm going to take full responsibility for that, because sometimes I say the right thing and sometimes I don't. But we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 12. And here the Bible tells us some things concerning a man by the name of Abraham. And we're going to use that as a starting point for our lesson this morning. And what I want us to talk about, it's what I'm just calling purpose in the home. It's important for every home to have a purpose, for every home to have goals. And I'm afraid that many homes exist with no purpose, with no goals to achieve. A man and a woman, they fall in love, they get married, they have children, they get jobs, they find a house to live in, and they go from day to day with really no purpose. They're working for a paycheck. And then they enjoy the weekend doing whatever they want to do, and then they work for another paycheck. And I want us to be thinking, and I want us to ask ourselves, do we have goals to achieve in our home? And of course, some goals can be wrong goals. They can involve the wrong emphasis. I've known families with goals, but their goals were to make money. Their goals were to move into a better house, to get a new car, to be able to take long vacations, to have an early retirement, to have social acceptance in the community, or maybe to be a doctor or a lawyer. And I say all of these things, and they're goals, and in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with any of those goals. But if they are the primary goal of our life, or the primary goals of our life, then our life is based on a short-sighted view of life. What I'd like to do this morning is to commend to us the goal that was set for Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.'" The American Standard Version says, "And be thou a blessing." There, I believe, is the goal that every home should have. And that is to be a blessing. That's what God said of Abraham. "I'm going to bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Now these other goals that we spoke of, having a new house or a new car or a long vacation, the thing about those goals are they involve getting. And really that's a lot of what society is based on in which we live. The goal of a Christian in the home is to give. It's to provide a blessing. Let's talk about some things that a home should be a blessing to. In the first place, a home should be a blessing to each member of the family. You know, a person would be truly blessed to be a part of a family who respects the teachings or the teaching of God's Word. If the father respects the teaching of God's Word, if the mother respects the teaching of God's Word, if the children respect the teaching of God's Word. And so our goal in the home should be to be a blessing to each member of the family. A home should be a blessing to a congregation. A good home can bless a church. And we see that. I think of what is said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, where Paul is concluding the first letter that we have recorded that Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, "I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Now, Stephanas, if you go back to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, was one of the first ones who was baptized. But notice what it says of him and his family. They have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And so as a family, as members of a family, we need to determine to be a minister, that is, a servant of saints. To help those who are sick, to help those who are needy, to help those who are poor, to encourage those who are discouraged. Another goal that a home should be a blessing to is to the neighborhood. Some neighbors are a blight to the neighborhood. But as Christians, we are to be salt to the neighborhood. And so here are some goals that we should have in our home. To be a blessing to each member of the family. To be a blessing to the congregation we're a part of. To be a blessing to the neighborhood. Now, having said all of that, the question is, how do we go about achieving that goal? And the first thing that I would say would be this. We need to have definite plans. The family is only the sum total of what each member is. And each member should be motivated to serve and to be a blessing. And it begins with the husband and it begins with the wife. And too often, that's where the problems begin in many homes. I wonder how many marriages are formed with the desire to get something. The husband is thinking, well, what can I get from this? Or the wife may be thinking, what can I get from this? Marriage should be formed on a desire to give. And when that desire exists on the part of the husband and the wife, then the home begins with the right attitude. Of course, Jesus was our example in this, as He is our example in all things. In Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus is referred to as the groom and the church is referred to as His bride. Let me ask this question. Do you think Jesus made the church His bride for what He could get out of it? And we know that that's not the case. He didn't make the church so He could see what He could get out of her. He didn't make the church for His benefit. But when He established the church, He established the church for the benefit of the church. He believed, He loved the church. He was unselfish. He gave Himself to purchase His church. When we look here in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul tells us the attitudes that husbands are to have, the attitudes that wives are to have. Beginning in verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, I want to read that verse because it just simply says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. So as wives, what wives are to pattern themselves, are to understand as they submit to their husbands, they're doing that as to the Lord. And he explains. And I'm going to read verse 23 in a little different order. As Christ is the head of the church, so the husband is the head of the wife. Think about Christ being the head of the church. And what He did for the church. And the fact that the church is to be subject to Christ. That's the same way in which the wife is to be subject to her husband. And then He talks to the husband, beginning with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. That is God's plan. And when you find two people with this attitude, when you find a wife who is submissive to her husband as to the Lord, and you find a husband who loves his wife as he loves himself, and he understands that he is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. When you find two people with that attitude or those attitudes, what you will find is they will be a blessing to one another. And again, that's God's plan. That's exactly the way God has designed marriage to be. And when children come, what parents should do is to love them unselfishly. And I say that because that's so often parents are selfish when it comes to their own children. Love your children unselfishly. Help them to understand their importance to God. Sacrifice for them. See to their needs. And children must be taught to serve and to give and not just receive. If we want to be a blessing, then we have to be people who give. Children need to be taught to make sacrifices for the happiness of their parents. And so the goal and purpose is to give and not just get. A third and final thing that I want to say is this. Being a blessing involves an influence of God in our home. In Genesis chapter 18, in verse 19, the Bible says, For I have known him, speaking of Abraham, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. God knew Abraham. And what he knew about Abraham was that he would command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord. That's why God chose Abraham to be the father of his chosen people. And in the very beginning, as we read, God said, I will make you a blessing, and you shall be a blessing. And as God worked through Abraham's life, Abraham would be a blessing to all others. God living in our home will make our home a blessing. I want to read from Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, we have Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's passing through Jericho. And he comes upon a man by the name of Zacchaeus. We're familiar. But beginning in verse 2 of Luke chapter 19, the Bible says, Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus welcomed him into his house. And what the Bible says in verse 9 is that Jesus says to Zacchaeus, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. Jesus is willing to come to our house. And if He comes, if we will welcome Him, if we will allow Him to come into our house, into our home, He will bring salvation. And the question is, are we willing? Are we willing to have Jesus in our home? Oftentimes people make special preparation if, say, a preacher is coming in to eat. Or maybe others are coming in to eat. What would we do if Jesus came? And then what I want to ask is this. Are we not conscious? And I believe we are. Are we not conscious of Jesus' presence? Do we make our home the kind of home where Jesus would feel comfortable? If Jesus were to come into our home physically, would there be some changes that we might have to make in our home? Maybe in our family relations. Maybe in our conversations, the things that we say to one another. Maybe in our entertainment. if Jesus was there all the time? You know, I think about some negative things that we might have to do. What about the books we have in our home? Would we need to get rid of some? Maybe some of the magazines we have in our home. Or some of the TV programs that we watch on a regular basis. Or the DVDs, the movies that we watch, the radio, the CDs that we listen to, the language that we use. Maybe shouting that goes on at times, or hostility that exists. Or some jokes that we wouldn't tell. Or beverages that we wouldn't drink. I just wonder, would it make a difference? And when I think about that, I think about this. Jesus is aware of everything that goes on. And if I'm thinking, well, you know, I really probably would make some changes, then what we need to do is we need to change our thinking altogether. And we need to get really serious about being a Christian. Make whatever changes need to be made. And in order for us to be a blessing to others, that absolutely involves the influence of God in our home. Our home must be pure. It must be devout. It must be godly in influence. And I think about God choosing Mary and Joseph for rearing Jesus. Would God choose our home? Would God feel comfortable around our friends? Would God feel comfortable going places we go? And again, if not, then what we need to do is to make some purpose to change. Not only to get rid of negative things, but to add positive things to combat evil influences. Bible study, prayer, being faithful to services, being faithful as a child of God. As a family, let's devote ourselves to God's service. Not only to make plans to do that, but take action in carrying that out. Let me close with a statement made by a man who set his purpose for himself and for his family. And it ought to challenge each of us to set the same goal. In Joshua chapter 24, in verse 14, Joshua says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Surely that is our goal. And may God help us to have purpose to accomplish our goals as we serve the Lord. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. Are you a blessing in your home? Are you a blessing to this congregation? Are you a blessing in the neighborhood? That is just a part of being a Christian. That is what God expects of us. And really, that ought to become just a natural thing with us. And what I mean by that is, as we take on, as we talked this morning, the character of Christ, the image of Christ, that's just who we are. And we can be a blessing to others as we serve God.